Chris Landry here with a look at this week in college football. We're going to take a look at some ways to fix the college bowl system outside of the new 12-team playoff format, as well as the many changes coming this year in the SEC. And finally, we take a new approach to the college football calendar. That is the topic today. A reminder, you can get more detailed breakdowns of the world of college football, as well as the NFL at LandryFootball.com. Check it out today. Take advantage of our scouting season offer that we have on the front page. After a 60-point victory, befitting of a September rent-a-win game rather than a late December bowl game, Georgia coach Kirby Smart used his pulpit to point out the obvious. Florida State was missing the majority of its offensive and defensive production due to opt-outs and injury, and the game was ugly and embarrassing. It was embarrassing to the sport. And I think he said a lot of things that people were thinking. And I know their changes are coming, and we're going to see a 12-team playoff. There's still going to be bowl games outside of those. And those games still have relevance. Folks, for people that talk about those bowl games are not important, nobody cares, think about this. Those meaningless bowl games, non-playoff bowl games, draw more than the NBA playoffs draw in terms of viewership. It's the time of the year, it's tradition, whatever. It's the love of the sport, even though it's not as popular as the major college football games during the regular season and, of course, the playoffs, it still has some value. But we've got to decide what we want to do with them and what we want to get out of it. And it's really some things that need to be looked at. Now, one thing that I think needs to be done is to allow the bowls to directly pay players to play in this game. I understand you need the NCAA to change its rules to allow direct pay for play. That's coming in time. But the national governing body is already moving in that direction, and we're going to see it. So let's kind of go forward with that. We know the NIL, the collectives combined with the transfer portal have created a pay for play anyway. You could also have collectives included in bowl clauses in their contracts with players. Either way, this won't stop all the opt-outs for potential high first and second round draft picks, but it might incentivize participation for the mid to late round guys and those that are on the fence about transferring. Even if it doesn't make a huge difference, it at least matches the fact that coaches trigger bonuses by making and winning bowl games, so the players could get paid for participating just like their coaches. And I think that would matter. The other thing that I think needs to be looked at is to abandon conference affiliations so bowls can set matchups that make the most sense. Some won't like the idea of abandoning direct conference tie-ins, but turning the system into a free-for-all is an easy way to address varying levels of motivation heading into the non-CFP portion of the postseason. If they take away the tiered base on record, then you encourage teams to close the season on a strong note to become more desirable bowl games. Some bowls would rather have a team that might be 7-5, but have won three straight conference games to reach the win total that it hadn't in years, rather than a team that went 8-4, maybe 9-3, but limped to the finish line and maybe doesn't have a lot of motivation to play in the game. I'd also suggest that we allow teams that don't want to participate in bowl games to just decline it. We've seen teams do this before, most notably in the COVID year. But for a team like Florida State, you know, there wasn't an option. They don't want to play, don't play. I mean, it may look bad, but the bottom line is if you have a situation where players don't want to play, you have situations where maybe you've got a coaching staff leaving, maybe you ought to allow that as a possibility. The other thing that I think is important is get rid of the early signing period. You can't move the transfer portal window back because athletes need to be able to enroll in their schools at the start of the semester in January. The college football playoff is expanded, so December will be an easier, busier month next year with first-round games on campuses, then an additional quarterfinal round. The only realistic option of what can move is the early signing period in December. It creates an absolute chaos for coaches who have to manage bowl prep, the portal, staffing changes, and recruiting all at once. After Auburn lost 31-13 to Maryland in the Music City Bowl, it was embarrassing to hear Auburn coach Hugh Freeze say, I didn't feel like it was an effective game plan. I didn't get too involved in it because I was working on recruiting. How embarrassing that is to the sport. We need to reframe the way we talk about college football and the way we celebrate the sport in the 12-team college football playoff era. It needs to be a collective effort from pundits to fans to coaches, administrators. We need to stop framing everything as a national championship or bust. This is how you get Ohio State opting out of the Rose Bowl or Florida State players skipping the Orange Bowl, all because they're not playing for a chance to win the national championship. I think we need to look at it. I think Ole Miss and Missouri are example of two programs that had a lot to play for. Now, they're not programs that typically and will likely play for championships. Ole Miss just won 11 games for the first time in program history, and they took time to celebrate. And I think that was big. I think Missouri did the same thing. But we should stop worrying about the bowl season being broken. We don't need to worry about the feelings of bowls and TV executives. We can and should enjoy these games. They've become exhibitions. That's what it was started for way back a long time ago. And it became more and more important, and now it's become less important if you're not part of the playoffs. On to some other things, some SEC issues as they begin into a new era. In 2023, no SEC team played for the College Football Playoff National Championship for the first time since its inception in 2014. It is in some ways a fitting end for a conference that dominated the 4-team era, as the 12-team playoff era is here. More teams than ever will have an opportunity to play deep into postseason. Before looking ahead, it's worth noting the SEC's run during the past decade. Most appearances in the playoffs by conference, 10. Most wins, 14. Most championships, 6. Highlighted by Alabama with the most appearances, 7. Wins, 9. And championships, 3. Nick Saban's retired, signaling the potential changing of the guard in the conference. A combination of returnees and portal additions has Georgia poised to regain its perch atop the SEC. Alabama lost valuable defensive pieces, but bring back core offensive talent, while Ole Miss and Missouri are gunning for historic wins. Newcomer Texas has championship aspirations. Fellow newcomer Oklahoma is optimistic. Mississippi State and Texas A&M are hoping for brighter days with new coaches. LSU's made massive changes on the defensive side. To kick off the offseason, here are five or six things that ranging from expansion to television to recruiting that are changing. You got a new coaching hierarchy. The most glaring change of the SEC landscape is no more Nick Saban. Dominance aside, he was once the constant in the SEC for close to two decades and was the fifth longest tenured coach in the country. Now the SEC coaches who've been at their schools for at least 5 years are Georgia's Kirby Smart and Mark Stoops. But there are plenty of storylines. You're welcoming Steve Sarkisian, fresh off a Big 12 championship game, a playoff berth, Oklahoma's Brent Venables, who led the Sooners to 10 wins in 23, new Alabama coach Kalen DeBoer coming in, Mike Elko returning to A&M, Mississippi State hiring Jeff Lebby. Smart headlines the list of returning with two of the past three national titles. Brian Kelly won big with Jaden Daniels, but enters a new era. Lane Kiffin and Eli Drinkwitz have what appears to be ascending programs, or is it going to be a little bit like what South Carolina was the year before and they fall back to the pack? Mark Stoops is the longest tenured SEC coach, flirted with the Texas A&M job. That didn't work out, stayed at Kentucky, been the model of consistency. They want more, but can you get more out of football at Kentucky than he's gotten? Josh Heupel's led Tennessee to 19 wins the past two seasons. Hugh Freeze is eyeing a second-year leap, while Shane Beamer, Billy Napier, Sam Pittman need bounce back years, or they're going to be in trouble of losing and in danger of losing their jobs. The SEC has expanded only twice in its history. In 91, Arkansas and South Carolina, and in 12, Missouri and A&M. Adding Texas and Oklahoma, the flag bearers of their previous conference, is perhaps the most significant expansion move yet. They're both playoff / national championship level programs, and the SEC is going to welcome them in style by sending Alabama to Oklahoma, Georgia to Texas to their campuses this fall. Both schools bring a highly touted programs in other sports. The battle for SEC football is mirrored by the expansion to 12-team playoff field. Now it's going to open the door for programs like Ole Miss and Missouri and others to get into the playoffs, where heretofore they've not been any threat to get that far in a 14 playoff. No divisions in the SEC. The SEC was the first conference with a championship game in 92. Some 30 years later, the East-West split finished with an epic battle between Alabama and Georgia, with Saban finishing his career as the SEC champion. The SEC West, headlined by Alabama's 11 titles, bested the East with 19 championships. Six teams won championships: Alabama, Auburn, Florida, Georgia, LSU, and Tennessee, with four others making appearances: Arkansas, Mississippi State, Missouri, and South Carolina. The top two teams in the overall standings now will advance. The long-term vision for conference schedules isn't known, but the opportunity for must-see regular season games are going to create a new dynamic. We got some new quarterbacks. Jaden Daniels won the Heisman, and he's gone off to the NFL. Spencer Rattler, KJ Jefferson, Will Rogers. But you've got Carson Beck and Quinn Ewers and Jalen Milroe and Garrett Nussmeier and Jackson Arnold and Jackson Dart and Connor Wegman. Not to be forgotten is Brady Cook returns off a stellar season. For Graham Mertz is back off for a solid statistical season. You've got Nico Iamaleva of is certainly under some controversy off the field, but certainly has a lot of ability. There'll be new starters at Arkansas and Kentucky and South Carolina and Mississippi State and Vanderbilt. The schedules. The SEC will play 8 conference games for at least one more year, but there's uncertainty about how many conference games each year will play moving forward. Saban hinted towards a 7-1 model of 7 rotating opponents and only one fixed opponent per year. We'll see how this plays out. You've got the recruiting in the trench for a portal. 13 of the conference 16 teams have top 25 recruiting classes. Several programs are taking advantage of the transfer portal, Ole Miss in particular, but A&M as well. Texas, South Carolina, Missouri, Kentucky, Florida, Tennessee all have top 20 portal classes. So the upcoming 25 recruiting cycle is notable for a few reasons. Will Alabama maintain its dominance? And there's no shortage of talent in the SEC, and they will continue to dominate. TV marked the end of the SEC on CBS era this past year. The 24 season marks the beginning of the 10-year agreement with ESPN, exclusive rights holder with ESPN, Disney. That's ESPN, ABC, SEC Network. All of that will feature an ABC Saturday Night Football for the first time. They'll air the SEC Championship game, and either ABC or ESPN will feature a late afternoon SEC game the Friday after Thanksgiving. So we'll see how the branding and the marriage with the ESPN works with them. So a lot going on and a lot of new changes. What I ended up with a how to fix the college football calendar needs to be changed. You hear it all the time, but yet no one has a good solution. And honestly, there isn't a good, but we can lessen the impact by not stuffing everything into 4 weeks of December, as I mentioned earlier. I think you need to do, the first thing you need to do is move the early signing period to June. Why is December an early signing period in the turnaround with another signing day in February? Make the signing day in June, maybe early July. It would create a little bit of off-season interest, but it would allow kids that have made their decision before their senior year in high school to sign, get it done. I said back in the mid-2000s when everyone was clamoring for an early period that June is better. Allowing everyone to relax during the dead period of the summer, kids to focus on their senior season, is what I think is best. I'm all for the early signing period, but the majority of players have made up their mind by the time their senior season begins. And all it does, it creates more chaos. It's a waste of money. It's a waste of time. And again, it puts a logjam into the work schedule of coaches during the end of the football season, where you've got coaching changes, you've got bowl prep, all things that we've talked about before. There needs to be smarter roster management, and I think this would less shortfall of scholarships, and this would make for a less hectic summer for all, for the players involved and the coaches. I would eliminate the 3-day transfer portal window in December. A 30-day window in December just makes an unmanageable process even less so. It makes kids jump too soon or feel pressured. It makes makes colleges reach on kids, and it just stresses the entire process. It also eliminates the 30-day window for coaches being fired or leaving. If a kid goes in the day after his coach is fired or retires, great. He's recruitable. 2,000 kids going in over a couple of weeks is dumb, it's unmanageable, and it's a problem. I'd also look at getting rid of windows. See, our kid signs in June and his head coach leaves or is fired. Boom. He's out of his NIL commitment. No window, no nothing. He's free to pursue another school and can enroll for the spring or sign in February. Windows are dumb and just cause issues. I know some coaches want shorter windows, and I've addressed that. It's just not manageable. We need to make things as cut as dry as possible. Simplicity, not complexity. College football recruiting and the portal won't be fixed anytime soon. That's the way of the world. But two simple changes could alleviate a lot of this. High school recruiting will be more spread out. Portal recruiting will be more spread out. We won't have as much chaos stuffed into a tiny window. That's a look at the latest in college football this week. A reminder, you can get more detailed breakdowns of the world of college football and NFL at LandryFootball.com. Try it out for a month. Try it out for 6 months. But our scouting season offer is the best deal that we've got going. Check it out today, LandryFootball.com. A reminder that you can get information from a playing, coaching, scouting, and front office perspective involving players, teams, coaches, schemes, and we cover it all year long, 12 months a year. So check it out today. Also, subscribe, like, and share the Landry Football Podcast Network on Apple, on Spotify.